Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the BC. It is Saturday, the 22nd of May, Anno Domini 2010, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, stuff to choose, nothing to lose. We'll start with our, before we get to the news, I have to make an announcement.
I was going
to
say, you're going to gloat a little?
I'm going to make an announcement.
Okay.
Yesterday was my daughter's prom.
You're getting old.
I am old. I'm already old. She went to her prom. She looks beautiful. She had a great time. She did not get home till 2:30 in the morning. And I let her sleep in. I went to market this morning. So first, I'm apologizing to you guys on the air. I'm not as fresh as I could be at this point,
because I don't have to sit next to you.
Yeah, exactly. Steve's the one who's got the real problem. But it was hot and sweaty at market today. But more importantly, I'm running on dang near no sleep. So you better keep your hand near that dump button, buddy boy, because I have no idea what's going to come out of it. It's radio on the edge today. All right, we'll see.
You're in a rare special moment.
We'll see. I had more. On the one hand, I got that no sleep caffeine buzz kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my body's going, oh, for God's sake, go to sleep. And my brain is saying, I'm awake. I'm ready to do things. Okay, let's go do things.
Dead tired, wide awake.
Exactly. All right, a vulnerability in the Canonical Display Driver, which has nothing to do with Ubuntu, in 64-bit versions of Windows 7 and Windows Server 2008 Release 2 and Windows Server 2008 Release 2 for Itanium-based systems could allow remote code execution. The Windows Canonical Display Driver does not properly parse information copied from user mode to kernel mode, states Microsoft in a security advisory published yesterday. In most scenarios, an attacker who successfully exploited this vulnerability could cause the affected system to stop responding and automatically restart. It is also theoretically possible, but unlikely due to memory randomization, that the attacker who successfully exploited this vulnerability could run arbitrary code. An attacker could then install programs, view, change, or delete data, or create new accounts with full user rights. To take advantage of the vulnerability, the attacker would have to trick the user into viewing a specially crafted image file with an affected application, likely hosted on a malicious website. Of course, that happens all the time, so don't get smug about it. Social engineering tactics like sending an email or an IM message with a malicious link purporting to be from somebody's friends and linking back to a curious or funny image or whatever. Microsoft has offered a workaround solution to help block known attack vectors before a flash is issued and applied. Here's my favorite part. All you have to do is disable the Windows arrow theme. Change to one of the basic or high contrast themes, and safe. So our question of the week in the poll at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is, are you running 64-bit Windows 7? Your choices are yes, and I'm loving it. Yes, but I have problems with some programs. Not yet, but I'm looking forward to it. Not yet, but I'm going to have to eventually, I guess. Not now, not ever. I'm a jobs-loving Mac fanboy or girl. Or Penguin Power, baby.
Well, I've got it on two of my machines so far. Matter of fact, I just put it on the second one. I just got another copy to put on the second machine that I'm using for the accounting. And I was surprised, even because I'm using an old version of QuickBooks 2004.
Right.
Went in there, no problem. It said, oh, wait a minute, you got to do some updates. It did the updates. Bam. And that's the only program I care about that.
Yeah, right.
On that one.
Right.
But it's up, it's running, it's doing good. Matter of fact, it's a hell of a lot faster.
Yeah.
Because now, you know, I put 8 gig of memory into it, and it's on a SATA drive as opposed to IDE. And I also put in a 512 graphics card versus just working off
of
the basic one, you know, off the motherboard. So
far we've got 50 votes, and not yet, but I'm going to have to eventually, just edges out Penguin Power, baby. followed by the others. When, of course, now, I know you people. You've got more to say about this. So when you are done voting in the poll, take a look at the little yellow box underneath. Click Give Us Your Opinion. It will take you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
Where you can then enter your opinions. So far, we've got three of them out there, and you can enter your opinion. Then check out what I do. I do a newsletter and a bunch of other stuff, and it's worth $15 a month, I think. I personally think $15 a year.
Really?
I keep saying month. I want it to be a month.
Month. That would be nice.
It should be a month. But then come on back and check out what we do at soundbites.org and give us a call. What are your experiences with 64-bit Windows 7? Call us and tell us. The numbers are 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, if you're outside the 585 area code, it's toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. That number in Bayonne, 1-800-790-0415.
I should make one thing clear. I'm still having issues with the Soundbite CD. I've had a couple folks come in and say, well, I sent you the email, and I don't know what the heck's going on there, where it's acting up, but I'm not getting them. And I know you've checked it, and I've talked to Jerry, and I've changed filtering and everything else, and for some reason, so I'm asking folks.
They're coming to your server.
I'm assuming so.
Well, I don't have a choice of. I can't see. I mean, I know it's going out of my server because I can see the mail log.
I just got to have Jerry, and God bless Jerry. He's been busier than a one-arm paper hanger right now, so I'm not going to bother him about it. But if you don't hear from me, what I'm asking you folks to do is just give me an email me, Dave@nwrightpc.com. That's Dave@nwrightpc.com. And, I'll gladly get back to you on it. So, don't want people thinking, oh, he's just avoiding us. No.
He may be avoiding you personally, but as a group, he's not. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean that.
That wasn't for publication.
I'm telling you, truly, I'm...
You're ripe.
I'm not promising. Yes, I am. I am that. We already know that. But I'm not making any promises today. I'm really not.
So go back to the Windows 64-bit issue. The big annoyance we run into at our shop is that the retail version of Windows 7 comes with 32-bit and 64-bit in one box for $200. The OEM version, you have to buy separately, 32-bit and 64-bit separately, for like $150 each.
Yeah.
And so, that's our big question is do you want 64-bit or 32-bit on your computer? Depends on what programs you're going to run. And it's very annoying that Microsoft doesn't give you both in the OEM pack like they do in the retail pack.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
And then...
It's to Microsoft.
It's to Microsoft,
what's to understand?
Yeah, true. Yeah.
And then someone wanted
I'm
to run...
I'm sorry.
Someone was getting Office 2007 and asked if they should get 32-bit or 64-bit. Depends on what OS you're running.
That's exactly right.
You have to match them all up to make it work best.
Yep. I've been doing a bunch of 64-bit stuff. We've got it running at work. We've got a bunch of things going on. And I'm very impressed. It's fast. It's convenient. It's easy to use. It runs, like Dave said, faster than the 32-bit, assuming your machine is capable of a good 64-bit.
You got to have the horsepower behind it.
You got to have the right processor. You got to have the right amount of memory and everything else. But once you do that, you're good to go.
Well, and I'm talking old QuickBooks, too. I mean, QuickBooks is noted. I mean, I don't know how it is with 2010. I haven't played with it much. But, typically QuickBooks, you start it, you go grab lunch, come back, and...
Well, that has more to do with the processor and memory that you put into it, too.
Program, too. I mean, that is butt slow. That's like Norton. Norton finally wound up with 2010 revamping the whole software. I got to admit, Norton 2010 right now, I'm liking. It's a lot streamer. It's a lot cleaner running. It's not eating up a lot of crap like it was before. And it's working very good. Matter of fact... To even get the point across, they have a monitor to show you what little resources it's using because it got such a bad rap which
for
was,
years.
Yeah, well, it was deserving, though. I mean, they get,
so, yeah.
Yeah, they got in there. So to get over that, they want to make sure, and they put it out in your face, and even in the advertising, well, check the meter now. It'll show you how little we're taking up of your resources.
Yeah.
Well, that's so, also because computers are so much faster now.
Well, that's
they
part
have
of
more
it.
Resources.
Yeah, that's part of it, certainly. That's certainly part of it. Before we go to the phones, I just want to remind people that you are listening to member-supported Jazz 90.1. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. So you can reach us pretty much from anywhere on earth that that has any sort of telephone-like service, just like Zach did. Where are you calling from, Zach?
Rochester.
And what can we do for you?
Well, I had a comment about Windows 7 64-bit, and I had a question.
Sure.
I've been using it and on a new laptop, and it's working very well. The only problem I've had is with HP printer software. No surprise
that's not a problem. That's the standard.
Yeah, I was just saying, that's standard issue.
Well, it's interesting because the operating system had the drivers installed already, so I'm able to use my printer, but the HP Solution Center, I can't get that to load, even though I downloaded the 64-bit version from their website. But otherwise, it seems to be running very smoothly.
Yeah, one of the things that you want to be careful of is you want to run as much 64-bit software as possible. Now, that's a... Let me get a little technical for a moment. When you run a system in any of the modern systems that do 64-bit, they have something called context switching. They can run either in 64-bit mode or 32-bit mode. The problem is, if you have a mix of 64 and 32, then the system has to do an entire context switch, which doesn't take a lot of time. I mean, it's you know, nanoseconds, milliseconds. But when you do it 50,000 times a second, you know, things slow down. So you want to run as many 64-bit programs as you can. The problem is, and this is not something Microsoft likes to tout, but not all of 64-bit Windows is, in fact, 64-bit. There are some 32-bit subsystems, and so consequently, Windows 7 is, in fact, slower than it could be, simply because of all that context switching. But you can help it along by running only 64-bit software. So when you get a printer like you did with 32-bit software on the CD, you really want to download the 64-bit software. Now, that said, HP software in general is just a steaming pile of HP software.
They make really good printers, though.
They make phenomenal hardware and really, really lousy software.
It takes forever in a lifetime to load it.
I hate it.
Yeah.
I've removed it from every machine it's ever come on.
200 meg download? Well, see, and it's all that media center. Give me the driver, which is what, 20K, 30K?
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the problem because we're not average people.
Right.
An average person wants a big button that says, scan the email, or in a big button that says, print a photo. You know, we just want the driver.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Clean and simple.
All right, what was your question?
I had a couple of questions. One was about GPS software. I have a Garmin Nuvi, which works just fine, but they're telling me it's time to upgrade this software and download new software, new maps, and it's around $80 when you could buy a new unit for close to $100. I mean, do you think it's really worth it, or if needed, I could just buy a new unit?
Well, how much are you using it right now? And are you
very frequently, but.
But
not,
is it around here in the Rochester area?
Yeah, mostly in the Rochester
then
area.
Then 10-1 odds, all it's going to have for the $80 is the new streets that they've added around here, which, right now aren't a heck of a lot.
New construction areas. Yeah.
I can see those myself.
Yeah, I mean, you can go over for like Walmart or any other places, and for $15, just pick up a new city map.
Yeah.
That's up to date. They update it every year.
Yeah, so it's probably not worth it.
No, I wouldn't. I mean, what's in the other update are all these other states and cities that they've updated. If you were doing a lot of traveling from city to city, then I'd say, yeah, you probably want it because you might make a wrong turn and be going up a one-way street and put your butt in a world of hurt.
There's a lot of classic posts on the internet about people who have literally followed their directions, GPS directions too closely and run into unplowed roads during the winter or roads that don't exist anymore, and they drive into a lake because it said turn left.
Yeah, I visited a friend of mine a couple of weeks ago, and they live at one end of a country road. And when I say country road, I mean some cows can't get down this thing. And it took me to the other end of the road, which in between them and the other end of the road, it's closed because the road has disappeared. And so...
Oh, that's special.
I suddenly realized I'm at the wrong end of this road, so I had to go up and back and around and down and like that. But yeah, and I have to say... I was playing with my droid today, and that's not a euphemism. And I was letting it guide me here from the donut shop, and it said go out, you know, get on 104 West, but when I looked at the display, it said Keeler Street Expressway.
It hasn't been Keeler Street in how many years?
I don't care. Well, it's at 104 West-Keeler Street Expressway. Yeah. And I thought, wow, how cool is that?
Well, I see that on Google Maps all the time. Turn left on County Road 63. I didn't know that road had a number. But
yeah, right.
I guess
right.
They all have numbers, don't they?
They all have numbers, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, and that's one thing to think about, too. Instead of a standalone GPS, take a look at your cell phone. Because a lot of the cell phones, especially the higher-end smartphones now, have GPS functionality in them, and you can get away with one device.
Right. Well, thanks for your help.
No, it's our pleasure. Have fun. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. You are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Hi, this is Tom Pethick. Please join me every Monday evening from 6 to 9 as we take a journey into jazz. We'll hear music from homegrown jazz musicians such as vibist Joe Locke and the late legendary saxophonist Joe Romano. And of course, we'll hear music from today's new artists. That's Monday evenings from 6 to 9, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, celebrating 20 years.
Jazz 90.1 is supported by our members and Agape Physical Therapy, with locations in Brockport, Chi-Lai, Gates, and Webster. Agape Physical Therapy offers customized exercise programs for those who suffer with arthritis, back, knee, and neck pain. Each of Agape Physical Therapy's four locations stresses a group approach to treatment and is staffed with a doctor of physical therapy or a McKenzie specialist to ensure the most effective therapy. For more information about Agape Physical Therapy, you may call 637-0790 or visit agapephysicaltherapy.com.
Hi, I'm Melanie Bloom, National Spokesperson for the Coalition to Prevent DVT. Deep vein thrombosis, or DVT, is a blood clot usually found in your leg that can break loose and travel to your lungs. Last year, approximately 300,000 people died from DVT-related complications. My husband, David Bloom, was one of them. Talk to your doctor about your risk for DVT. Visit PreventDVT.org.
A message from the Coalition to Prevent DVT, funded by Sanofi Aventis U.S.
When I was a kid, when I was listening to the radio all the time, it was like a portal to the world for me. You know, I grew up in a small town in Georgia, and, you know, it's like a connection to the outside world, you know, was a special thing.
New artist Tim Brantley loves radio because it connects every day. Radio, always on, always free, always something new. Go to RadioHeardHere.com.
Hello, this is Joelle Van Buren. Join me weekday mornings from 6 till 10 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 22 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Our next caller is Bodan.
Gentlemen, good afternoon.
Who walked in?
Hi there. You're calling from Rochester, right?
Yes, I am.
I'm more awake than I thought I was.
Alrighty. Good memory.
Thanks.
Hey, listen, I got a question that was bugging me for the last 2 weeks. And even though you probably don't know what, in this particular case, they did, they meaning the business and their website operator, but in a general synopsis here, I've had this restaurant bar that's on Monroe Avenue listed as one of my favorites bookmarked. Well, within the last couple of weeks, I could never get to that website. I told the managers there, and they said, no, our website's up and running. And I go, no, it's not. I just, when I click on, you know, your link, it won't open the page. Well, apparently somebody, again, they did something to their website. Mm-hmm. And the address that I had saved in my bookmark was no longer valid. But the address didn't change. They're still using that same website address, but they did something whereby,
yeah,
what happened was I had to physically retype in the website address and it opened up.
Yeah, we ran into that.
What could they do, or what did they do? Did they screw something up, or did they?
Well, some of it can be your domain record. We run into that now with Dave's website. If you put in nwritepc.com, it doesn't work. You have to put in www.nwritepc.com.
Right.
And if they change the domain record, something can happen. And we've done that with our website. Our homepage used to be index.html, and now it's index.php. So if you had bookmarked index.html, it won't work anymore. Or right. You get the old website that the files are still there because we haven't deleted them yet.
So this is not a totally uncommon problem, or there wasn't a mistake done by whoever services their website or anything like that.
Yeah, it's not a problem. It's just people make changes, and if you've bookmarked the old way and the old way doesn't work anymore, then yeah, you have a problem. And generally, I have to say that they should put, you know, an alias to the old way. So, for example, if you go to www.asknick.com or asknick.com, they both work exactly the same way.
So when they did the website a couple weeks ago, and I was trying to access it from the bookmark that I had from 3 months ago, it wasn't there. I mentioned it to the restaurant, as I said, and they said, no, we're up and running, So I don't know why. For some reason, I just manually typed it in again, and voila, it worked.
Well, see, what you had listed in your bookmark was in some way different from what you typed in. In other words, you may have had it, as Steve said, with index.html, but they moved to PHP, so now it's index.php.
Gotcha, understand now.
Right, so it was looking for a file, not necessarily the website, but a file that no longer exists.
Gotcha. So, all right, I was just wondering from, you know, the perspective, you know, was it something in my computer or was it something on their end, but I think you've explained my question.
Well, good.
Gentlemen, thank you and enjoy your day.
You too, my friend. Bye-bye. Keep smiling.
And it makes it hard to change your website because you don't know what bookmarks are going to change. And
right. Well, in your particular case, in the index.html, you can recreate that. Right, and it just immediately goes to index.php. So
yep.
Even people with the old stuff will have no problem. All right. Our next caller is Frank. Where are you calling from, Frank?
Oh, here in Greece.
Here in Greece?
Yes.
What can we do for you?
Well, it's a Mac question. That's probably one you may have handled before, but I don't catch every program. But I have loaded Snow Leopard, and which is the most recent OS, and some of my programs don't run anymore. I have Toast. You know, it's not the newest version. I think they're running Toast Titanium 10 right now, and I have 6.
I think it's 12, actually. But, yeah, that's the problem. Your software is too old and needs to be updated or replace it with something else. And that's the danger you always have when you upgrade any operating systems.
Yeah, well, usually in the past, they go back to, you know, I used to be able to run programs from 10 years ago. But so I just have to buy the new programs, I guess, is the problem.
Yeah, there's compatibility issues with the new operating systems. One of the biggest issues with 10.6 is it's Intel code only. So if any of your programs were still using classic code, it cannot work. If any of your programs were using PowerPC code, you have to load the Rosetta Translator. So it's technologically a major shift, and it broke a lot of older programs. Apple has a compatibility listing on their website. And there's also another one at snowleopard.wiki.com. that we talked about when Snow Leopard came out that lists the known compatibility issues with some programs.
Yeah, because I thought that Rosetta would be able to translate everything and things would run happily.
But Rosetta translates PowerPC code into Intel code. It doesn't translate everything.
Oh, I see.
So a lot of older programs just cannot work because the operating system has changed so much, especially the older it gets. You know, Toast 6 is 5 versions old, so I'm surprised it lasted this long, actually.
Okay.
But CD burning is built into the operating system. You may not necessarily need Toast.
Yeah, I've been
Toast.
Working around. That's not a problem. But I was going to use some of the translation, the text translation and stuff. So
yep.
I'll just get a new program then, I guess.
Unfortunately, that's all you can do at this point.
Okay, well, thanks for the help.
Sure.
All right, thanks, Frank. That's often a problem that we see. There's just...
You know, Dave's story for years about he wants to use Norton WinFax, and it wasn't compatible with, what, XP?
Right,
and
right.
then not compatible with Vista, and I guess now it is compatible with 7 again.
Right, because it's a DOS program, and you can run it... In the compatibility mode in Windows 7, the DOS compatibility mode is actually better than it was in Vista.
Yeah.
Not a surprise.
Yeah.
Not
and
a surprise.
I just checked the compatibility list, and Toast 6 is not compatible with Snow Leopard, but Toast 7 is. So if you were one version newer, it would have worked.
Right.
And that's the danger with not upgrading your software, at least every other version. Right. Now, we know software is expensive, so a lot of people will skip every other version, so they only upgrade other versions. But eventually you get so far behind that it just cannot work. And then you're not eligible for upgrade pricing anymore. You have to buy the full version.
Right. All right, our next caller is Cindy. Where are you calling from, Cindy?
Queensbury.
Queensbury, New York.
Yes.
What can we do for you today?
Well, I am running Firefox on Windows 7, and when I right-click on a page, and I want to, you know, it used to say send to, now it says send link. The only options I have, what happened there? The only options I have are Google Mail, Gmail, and Yahoo Mail, neither of which I use. And it offers me to choose an application, but that just goes to, my library, my documents.
Right, it's asking you to pick the application you want to use for mail.
But what do
you use for mail?
I want to use Hotmail.
The problem is Hotmail is not mail, it's webmail.
Okay.
And you need a special plugin.
Of course, so is Gmail.
Gmail.
And Yahoo Mail.
So apparently you need a different plugin to enable Hotmail in Firefox.
Well, if it's just the send to menu...
And can I send to Facebook?
I don't.
That send to?
Well, you should theoretically be able to put anything in the shortcuts menu. If it's coming now, what I don't know is if it's separate for Firefox or if it's using the one from Windows 7 itself.
Well, I did not have this screen before I.
Yeah, all right. Then
before I had Firefox. Right. Once I got Firefox and I right-click, the only options I have are Yahoo Mail and Gmail, and I didn't put those in. Firefox put those in, or somebody put those in. You know, so it's got to be Firefox.
Right. Yeah, it's got to be Firefox. And really what you want to do is change the email program that's used...
Now that's a Windows system setting, isn't it? Your email program.
Yeah, that's kind of.
But since Hotmail isn't a program, it's a website. That's the problem.
It's a web based.
Yeah.
All right. What you need to do is there's an add-on at addons.mozilla.org.
Okay.
And you want to search for mail to. And look for one that. Yeah, it's only Gmail and Yahoo Mail by default. So what you want to do is go to addons.mozilla.org/en-us, and the U.S. is capitalized, /Firefox
I'm posting a link.
/search.
Thank you.
?Q equals mail to.
Okay.
And that lists a bunch of them. So it's Gmail, Google Reader, and a bunch of things. There's just bunches of them. Look through the list. Hopefully you'll find the one you want.
Wonderful.
There's 3 pages of them, so I'm really not going through it right now, but that's how you do it.
Okay.
Okie doke.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Good luck, Cindy.
Bye.
Of course, Microsoft would like you to be using Internet Explorer, and then I bet Hotmail link would work.
The Microsoft
website with the Microsoft, yeah, that's probably the only one that would work. Yeah.
To the other lady that was on hold, I apologize today to get to her sooner, but she was requesting a song, and I told her, oh, the polka show was over about a half hour ago.
Yeah.
Evidently, she doesn't have her radio turned up.
Exactly. Well, she turned it down so she could make the call, which is the right thing to do.
We've been on over a half hour.
I understand that. That's not the point. The point is, I'm sorry, ma'am, that we cannot play your polka song on this show.
We could,
I suppose, if we had it, but we probably don't even have it. So.
No, they take their library with them.
Yeah, they do. They take their library home. It's their library, and they get to do what they want with it.
Mm-hmm.
Got enough time for a news article?
Sure do.
Sure, why not?
Hey, go for it. You got 5 minutes.
Google detailed its Android. This excites me. Google detailed its Android 2.2 mobile OS on Thursday, featuring enterprise level enhancements as well as a speed boost and flash support. Codenamed Froyo for frozen yogurt, Android 2.2 includes more than 20 new features geared to enterprises, said Google's Vic Gundrota, Vice President of Engineering. Among these is fuller integration with the Microsoft Exchange messaging system with such capabilities as account auto-discovery and linkage to the Exchange Global Address Book, which I'm really looking forward to. Also in the enterprise space, APIs are featured for device policy management, enabling developers to write applications that control services like remote wipe, which I really want, minimum password size, lock screen timeout, etc., etc. And Android, as Android adoption has skyrocketed, people are beginning to take these devices to work, Gundrota said. Really? Do you think? Froyo offers an application data backup API, a cloud-to-device messaging API. Devices running Android 2.2 can also serve as portable hotspots for network access. Google, never shy, demonstrated this by tethering a Wi-Fi-based iPad, which I found to be very, very humorous. The OS upgrade also features a 2 to 5 times speed improvement for applications via use of a just-in-time compiler functioning with the Dalvik virtual machine, if that matters to you. Android 2.2 will be made available to equipment manufacturers in the open source community in coming weeks. Developers can download the Android SDK and NDK, native development kit from the Android developer site, and they'll be rolling it out to the rest of the world, theoretically starting in June. Don't get excited if you don't get it June 1st. It's going to take them a while to hit every type of machine. Android 2.2 will be made of, oh, I already said that. It also supports Flash 10.1 and Adobe Air. So you'll be able to use Seismic, which is kind of fun. It turns out that people actually use Flash, Gundrota said, in an obvious swipe at Apple's refusal to allow Flash on devices such as the iPhone and iPad. Adobe, meanwhile, has just released the public beta version of Flash Player 10 for Android. Browser capabilities in Android 2.2 are being enhanced with the inclusion of the V8 JavaScript engine, which is the one featured in the Google Chrome browser. It's critically important for us to make the Android browser rock, and we're going to constantly improve that browser. Froyo is a major step in that direction, Gundrota said. We can claim Froyo is the world's fastest mobile browser. Users also will be able to access Android camera capabilities via the browser. Voice input is featured as well for informational queries. Gundrota said there are now 100,000 Android activations every day. So our question to you, lusting for that droid? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. I've said this several times now. I own a droid, and I love it.
Has it run off to the desert to find its former master yet?
That's not that kind of droid. Oh. This is not the droid you're looking for.
Wrong show. Wrong show.
This is not the droid you're looking for. Hi there. Yes, it is.
To work the Jedi mind trick, you have to be a Jedi. Do you know that people are putting Jedi down as their religion in California?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
It's, and it's a noticeable percentage now.
Yeah, it really is. I don't know. Did you see Peter Mayhew, the guy who played Chewbacca?
Yeah.
He and Harrison Ford were at an event. Mayhew is very old and not very healthy. His cane is a lightsaber.
Nice.
It was really, really nice. I'm assuming it's a one-off. I don't know that you can buy a lightsaber cane. If you can, I don't know why I haven't got one.
Yep. He and Kenny Baker, who was in the C-3PO or in the R2-D2 suit, and Anthony Daniels, who were in the CPO suit, did a convention tour. The men behind the masks.
Nice.
That was pretty neat.
But Peter Mayhew, very tall guy, not very healthy.
Not that attractive a man either. Well, he looked better in the suit.
Yeah, he actually kind of did. He's almost as hairy without it, though.
Yeah.
But he does have a lightsaber cane, which I thought was so flippin' cool.
What was the guy that was in the Darth Vader suit? He's got a very high-pitched Scottish accent. And if you can find any of the video, the live set shots of the Darth Vader costume and him speaking the lines, it's just so funny. I wish they'd released the movie that way.
Yeah, right.
Before they put James Earl Jones in it. Oh, have you seen the TomTom and some of the other GPS companies are putting out custom voices? You can now have Darth Vader giving you directions.
Nice. I like it.
Turn left. What is it? I find your
lack of turning left.
Yeah, lack of turning left.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you. It is 39 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
When you underwrite the programming of Jazz 90.1, you make your business known to people who enjoy jazz as much as you do. Your on-air message is short and tasteful, making it easy to remember, with basic information about your business, including how to reach you. Underwriting is economical, too. To find out more about underwriting Jazz 90.1, call 966-2660. That's 966-2660.
Helping you with your computer questions for over 20 years. Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1, streaming online worldwide at jazz901.org.
What could be more devastating than something that affects your face? Rosacea mars the appearance of more than 16 million Americans, usually after age 30. Without treatment, it could inflict serious physical damage, such as excess tissue and reduced vision. So don't ignore the signs of rosacea: facial redness, bumps and pimples, visible blood vessels, or irritated eyes. With any one of these signs, see a dermatologist or visit the National Rosacea Society website, rosacea.org.
Hi, this is Otto Bruno inviting you to join me every Sunday afternoon at 3:30 for my new show, Sinatra and Company.
I have got you under my skin.
I'll feature the music of Frank Sinatra as well as those with whom Frank worked and played. Artists like Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., Count Basie, Rosemary Clooney, and many more. So join in the fun with Sinatra and Company every Sunday afternoon at 3:30 right here on Jazz 90.1.
I would sacrifice anything.
Hi, this is Charles Benoit. Join me and the entire Smart Set tonight from 5 to 6 right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 42 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites.
I've got an album of James Darren doing Frank Sinatra.
There you go. Really? Oh, I see what you're saying. Hey, if you haven't
Frank
heard
Frank Sinatra's music.
I got that. If you haven't heard Frank Sinatra and Company with Otto Bruno, you're really missing out on something. Personally, that's the music of my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an excellent show Sunday afternoon.
Something just happened to my computer. I don't know what
you
it was.
Locked it.
It went to sleep.
You hit whatever the buttons are that lock it.
I don't have buttons set to do that. I didn't think.
apparently you do. Well, there's a lock thing, isn't it? Splat L or something. You don't want to look that up. It's the kind of thing that you should know.
It's the hot corners. I know there's a hot corner.
Yeah. All right, on Tuesday, speaking of Apple, Apple quietly refreshed its entry-level MacBook laptop, boosting the processor speed and inserting a longer life battery. Despite that, the MacBook remains priced at $999. Apple bumped the MacBook's Intel Core 2 Duo processor speed to 2.4 gigahertz, up from 2.2 gigahertz, and replaced the battery with a 10-hour battery to match the estimates that it uses in the higher-priced MacBook Pro line. Like the batteries used in those more expensive cousins, the MacBook is within the case and cannot be swapped out by the user. Because Steve Jobs doesn't think you're bright enough to swap a battery. The MacBook now sports NVIDIA's GeForce 320M integrated graphics processor, especially made for Apple's successor to the GeForce 9400M, the MacBook's former chipset. The GeForce 320M also powers the two lowest-priced 13-inch MacBook Pro laptops priced at $1,199 and $1,499. Unchanged in the MacBook are the amount of memory, 2 gigabytes, hard drive storage space, 250 gigabytes, and the white polycarbonate case. The MacBook, in fact, is the only Apple notebook that does not feature an aluminum unibody enclosure. Apple last updated the MacBook in October when it boosted the Intel processor from 2.13 gigahertz to 2.2 gigahertz. The MacBook also received a battery upgrade last year to an estimated 7 hours. The tweaked MacBook is available immediately at Apple's retail stores and online. So our question to you, will you be grabbing that new souped-up MacBook? No matter whether or not you bought one just in October, you've got to have that extra, you know, from 2.2 gigahertz, go up to 2.4 gigahertz, because, you know, that's important, that extra 0.2 gigahertz. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, 966-5299, toll-free, 1-800-790-0415. And we will be happy to talk to you about it. We have Ron on the line. Where are you calling from, Ron?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, where are you calling from?
I'm from Rochester.
Okay.
Okay, I'm running Windows XP Home, and Thunderbird's my email.
Yep.
Now, I have several folders, and they all have text in them, and I need to send the forward to folders. Now, when I click on a folder, everything turns green, all the tabs at the top, until I click on a text file that's in the folder. And I can, for the life of me, I have not been able to figure out how to send a folder. I don't know if it can be done or not, or do I have to send every file individually?
I think you got to send each file individually. There's no way you can do a folder.
Well, now what you...
You should be able to drag the folder from your desktop into the Thunderbird window, rather than saying attach file, because the attach file button is literally that, attach a file. You cannot attach a folder that way.
But
if you drag the folder over, it should work. You can also compress the folder. If you right-click on the desktop, if you right-click on the folder, there should be, what does it say in Windows, compress or create archive?
Is this a folder or one of the folders in the email system? Down the left of the email.
Yeah.
And drag the folder to where?
Is it a folder on your desktop or a folder in your email you're trying to send?
Oh, really?
No, that's a question.
It's a question to you. The question is this a folder, Ron?
I am trying to send the entire folder. I have like four folders.
Hold on, Ron, listen to the question, please. Is this folder on your desktop or is it one of the folders down the left side of your email?
Well, I'm trying to send the whole thing.
But where is
Ron?
Where is this folder?
I'm only going to ask this one more time.
In the email.
Okay, so it's one of the ones down the left-hand side of the email.
Right.
Okay, that's an entirely separate.
So that's technically a mailbox with email in it. It is. Mm-hmm. It's not a folder of files.
Okay.
Right. So what you want to do?
That makes it harder.
Well, no, it's not. Well, it's not impossible, but because this is the first time you're doing this, it's a little harder. What you need to do is take that folder and copy it all out to a file. If you open up the email, the emails have text files attached to them.
Right.
You right-click on those and say Save As. And those you have to do individually, but then they're all in one folder.
Okay.
You can then take that folder, right-click, and that folder's on the desktop now.
Okay.
Right? You then right-click on that folder and say Compress, and it makes a zip file, then you send the zip file.
Oh, okay.
That's the easiest way to do it because Well, first, that means you get all those files at once and they're all in one place.
Exactly.
And secondly, because it's zipped, it'll go faster and not take up as much storage on the other person's machine.
Okay, will the other person be able to open it easy?
Well, if they have the if they have the, Windows, then they
and
should be able to.
They have Windows
or,
7.
Or Mac.
If
has
they have Windows
7,
right, so it should be built in and shouldn't have a problem.
Okay, great. All right, thank you much.
Absolutely our pleasure. Thanks. One of the problems with email in general is that people are asking it to do more than it was ever originally designed to do.
Yeah.
And email has not truly kept up. Part of the problem is that so many companies make email programs that the standard has remained static since the 60s. And hasn't really kept track of all the new. They've added,
And the standard is to send plain text.
Right.
A few thousand characters of.
Right. And then, of course,
photos.
You have to worry about who you're sending it to. Do they get enough disk space in their email system to do that? That's why a lot of people are moving to, you don't have the other pictures. A lot of people are moving to Gmail because you get 7 gigs of storage space. And a lot of other places don't give you nearly that much. Now, a lot of people don't like running their email through their web browser. Well, in Thunderbird, you can actually run your Gmail through Thunderbird, and that works. We were talking about, we already talked about this in the air, that Peter Mayhew has a cane that's a lightsaber. It's a blue lightsaber.
And found a picture of him and Harrison Ford.
There it is. That's the one.
Harrison comes up to Peter's shoulder.
Yeah. And Harrison Ford is not a short guy.
He's a tall guy. Yeah. It's like a Peter topped out at 7'3".
Yep. And so that's and I like Thunderbird. I use Thunderbird all the time, but I also use Gmail. It's nice to be able to separate some of the things that I'm doing, and so I like Gmail. And I have to admit, Gmail is convenient. And it's what I like is the ability to just use it on the Droid. Boom, done. Everything works.
Until it goes down.
Which it does very rarely.
Google Calendar went down last week.
Yeah, it did.
And we were annoyed. In fact, I missed an appointment Friday morning because when I looked at my calendar, it wasn't there.
Right. And that's a problem that Google is actually addressing. They've got massive numbers of systems up, and they're working hard and regularly at making sure that... that those things are always available, because that's what they're touting, right? So that's what they're doing. We're going to go back to the phones. Our next caller is Gordon. Where are you calling from, Gordon?
Pittsford,
New York. What can we do for you?
Well, I got several questions, but the first is I have a laptop, a Lenovo ThinkPad R61i. Every time I shut it down, when I do restart it, it says the wireless is not connected. I have to go to the control panel, open wireless network connections, check. On wireless, check the box that says use Windows to configure, and then when I shut down, the check mark disappears.
When you shut it down, are you actually shutting it down or putting it in sleep mode or hibernate?
Shutting it down, I think.
Shut down.
You sure? Because I know that this is a problem with hibernate and sleep mode, but when you actually shut it down for real and it really just shuts down for real... then that shouldn't happen, because when you boot it up, it automatically reloads all the drivers.
Is this XP?
This is XP, yeah.
Yeah, go into your...
I contacted Netgear, and they said I had to disconnect the Lenovo wireless settings.
It may be that the Lenovo is not saving those settings, and it's a registry error.
Yes, and it may be that you have more than one set of drivers in there still.
Yeah.
That'll be a problem. You need only one set of drivers, and if there are more, they will interfere with each other and cause all kinds of havoc.
And also go into the control panel under power options and make sure that hibernation isn't checked and any of the sleep mode, especially if you're plugged in. I turn all that junk off. I can see using the power saver unit measures when I'm out mobile, because I want to conserve on power and everything else. But when I'm home and I'm plugged into the power or anywhere else, I don't need those things controlling my machine every 20 minutes. Inactive, shut it down or put it in sleep mode. Windows doesn't always like that.
Okay.
Yeah. My system reboots in like 15 seconds, so I don't really care. I don't need it to reboot in, you know, 8.
Right.
And then I don't have to worry about how long has it been off and do I still have any battery left, and because you know, if it's in sleep mode, well, if it's in hibernate mode, it really is shut down, but if it's in sleep mode, then it's actually getting a trickle out of the battery, and if you keep it turned off long enough, it's going to wear out your battery. I mean, it's going to use up your battery.
What model Lenovo is it?
R61i.
Wrong answer. No.
Yeah.
I'm seeing reports on the net that the N100 and the W510 and the T400, there's a lot of Lenovo laptops that have this problem. Maybe yours is one of them, too.
There are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, here's the T61P has that problem.
Let's see. So I'm looking at power options right now. And turn off monitor after 10 minutes, turn off hard disk after 15 minutes, system standby after 25 minutes.
Yeah,
hibernates never.
Yeah, set all of those to never when you're on AC.
Okay, great. Okay, can I ask you a couple more questions?
We can ask one more, certainly.
Okay. Last week, I was listening to you guys, and you were touting Mozilla Thunderbird 3.0. I downloaded it, and now I can't send emails.
Well, you have to set it up. I mean, it may not have picked up the right set of...
Well, you know, I have three computers. Two of them I did not change to 3.0. They look to me like they're set up exactly the same as this one.
What happens when you try to send?
I get a message that says, SMTP could not authenticate.
So your username and password aren't typed in properly in the SMTP settings.
Well, when I first turn on Thunderbird, it says, you know, it won't let me do it, doesn't like my password. I could either click try again or type in the same password, and then it works.
Now, if you are on, for example, Frontier DSL.
Time Warner.
Okay, even so, you want to be sure you're using the right SMTP server. I think, does Time Warner require
Time Warner doesn't do authentication, no, but Frontier does.
Yeah.
So you cannot use authentication on your sending server with Time Warner. It does not use it and will not work if you do.
Ah, okay.
So you have to turn off authentication for it to go
sending,
through the...
For sending, but for receiving, you do.
You do need to have it on. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's... Any? Can you tell me how to turn it off just on the SMTP?
Right. What you do is you go down the list of your accounts, and at the bottom you will see one, and I forget whether it's called sending server or something along that line, but it's obvious that it's the server that you use to send.
It's the SMTP.
Right, it's the SMTP server. And what you do is you make sure that that's the correct server. Copy from your other ones and turn off authentication.
Okay, great. Thanks for your help.
That's how you do it. All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Gordon.
Thanks a lot.
Yep. Yeah, I really like the new version of Thunderbird. I like the way they've set it up. I like it, so it seems to be a little faster. But what do I know? But I don't particularly.
I haven't tried it yet.
The problem with any of these, and it's certainly not the fault of the Thunderbird people or anybody else who makes an email program. You have to set it up correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a system that requires authentication, doesn't require authentication, whatever, it's a problem.
And a lot of people, I love it when, you know, you go to tell folks, you set it up for them and say, what's your password?
I don't have one.
You had to have put a password in at one time.
Well, I almost like.
I don't know. Can't you find that out for me?
When they say they don't have to enter it, I'm always tempted to say that wasn't my question. What is your password?
We don't care if you have to enter it. We need to know what it is.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what it is. Well, yeah, because you typed it in the first time, and your computer's been remembering it since.
Right, but you did type it in at one point. Trust me.
Yep.
You can't get email unless you put in a password at some point. So that's a problem a lot of people have, and then they have to call up their internet service provider, ask them to reset the password.
And then some folks get really indignant.
Like it's your fault.
Jeez, I don't know where I put that stuff. Just making it so difficult. Well, excuse me. Right. You know, hello?
Well, it's not
I have enough trouble remembering all my passwords.
Yeah, welcome to that club. It's not your fault that they didn't remember a password. It's not Dave making it difficult.
It's
just the way it is.
Almost wish they wouldn't give you the option to remember passwords. So you have, then you'd make everything exactly the same, and it's even worse.
Yeah.
Well, although Bruce Schneier, who's a well-known security guru.
Yeah, I heard that report.
Yeah, he says it doesn't matter what your passwords are anymore.
If they're going to get hacked, they're going to get hacked.
They're going to get hacked anyway, and by the time you change them, they've already been compromised and long ones, short ones, it really doesn't matter anymore. I don't think he's entirely right about that. But the big thing is if somebody does crack one of your passwords, they've got all of your passwords if you make them all the same. So whether or not you make long or short passwords, they should be different for different systems, particularly when it's something like Facebook where they're saying there's holes all over that thing anyway, and you really should never use a password on that one that you use anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And I do. I have my Facebook password is unique. I do not use it anywhere else. So, go ahead and take it. It's not going to do you any good anywhere else. We have the folks at Facebook. I don't know. Every time you turn around, there's a new security problem, and Mark Zuckerberg doesn't seem to care.
They announced this week they're going to try to make it simpler.
Yeah, probably by saying no password. You don't even need a password. Just go ahead and log in. All right, that music tells us we're going to take a quick break. This is a slightly longer break. So we're going to take a break, and I'll probably just take a nap now because I'm starting to wear out.
It's my turn.
It's your turn? All right, we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you. You are indeed listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. And again, I want to thank Rob Linton and all the folks at Jazz 90.1 for giving us this home right here on Member Supported, and that is Member Supported Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away. There's plenty more sound bites right after all of this cool stuff.
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve next on Member Supported Jazz 90.1.
I'm Steve Wozniak, and you're listening to Soundbites.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, the answer to your computer questions, on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC, Greece, Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District, and official media partner of the 2010 Xerox Rochester International Jazz Festival. Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, y'all ready for the blues?
If you're ready for some blues, look no further than Sunday nights. I'm Greg Lefebvre, your host for Doc's Juke Joint. Every Sunday from 7 till 10, part of our 5 hours of blues on Sunday nights. On the Juke Joint, you'll hear new blues, classic blues, and our extensive music calendar. Dig the blues on Sunday nights on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
So, Linda, did you call Dad about lunch?
I've been calling him all morning. Huh? No answer.
Oh, he should be at home now.
Oh, what do you think?
Every year, 1 in 3 Americans over 65 falls at home. For older adults, any broken bone can be serious. A broken hip can be lethal. For information on making your home fall safe and bone-friendly, visit orthoinfo.org. A public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, where staying on your feet is doctor's orders.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Jazz 90.1 accepts vehicles. That's right. You can donate your unwanted vehicle to Jazz 90.1, have it picked up, and receive a tax deduction while we get cash to keep the jazz going strong on Jazz 90.1. If you would like to support Jazz 90.1 by donating your old vehicle, call 966-5299. That's 966-5299. Donating your old vehicle, another way to support Jazz 90.1.
Every day we make sure we get things done to keep ourselves on track, to live the way we want to live. And every day we make choices, large and small, that reflect who we are, from the clothes we buy to the car we drive to where we choose to live. If you enjoy Jazz 90.1, make the choice to become a member. And once a year, renew that membership. See how it feels. It just might be one more small but important choice you make to live the way you want to with Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Mike on the line. Welcome, Mike. What's your question? Where are you calling from?
My question, I don't know if you probably answered this a million times, but I'm thinking about buying a laptop to give to someone who's going into a Master's of Science program in another state, doesn't matter, but so I'm thinking of getting a wireless laptop that would be good for them. It's going to be some research orientation, not necessarily numeric or scientific.
Right.
So I was thinking it's like $500 or $600 a good amount to think about.
Well, first, what city are you calling from?
I'm calling from Rochester.
Okay. $500 or $600 is a decent little low-end laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not actually doing research, you know, crunching numbers and stuff on that
right.
machine,
mm-hmm.
if all they're doing is writing reports and stuff.
Well, I'm thinking papers, long papers, stuff
right,
like that.
Right, that's perfectly fine. You could do, honestly, you could do that with a 386. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's certainly not something they're going to play a lot of games on. It's not something they're going to do a lot of video on.
That stuff.
Right, that's not going to do any of that stuff. But if what you're looking for is something that's limited to actual work.
Yeah, provides a service wireless.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And yeah, that should be fine.
I saw one. It's like a Dell Vietro or something. Can I say that?
Yeah, you can say that.
I think it's something like that. I didn't capture the name.
That's
it
the problem.
It was like a 15-inch screen, I think. And it was like so I think it was like $570.
Well,
and
here's
the guy said he would put OPN Office on it or
Open
something.
Open Office, absolutely. Great product.
Is it a good product?
Yeah, it's what I use every day.
We tell folks to use it all the time. Saves yourself a few $100 as opposed to going out and getting Microsoft Word.
It works a little differently, so you have to get used to the way it works.
Right.
So, you know.
If I'm in a college, you know, attached to their stuff,
mm-hmm.
and their stuff is like of a certain kind.
Like Microsoft Office.
Office work along with it.
Open Office is 100% compatible. I use Open Office every day, and everybody else in my building is using Microsoft Office. And they don't even know I'm not on Microsoft Office.
Right. Yeah, but you know more than most people.
Well, no, it's just a matter of setting the format. So one of the things that you can do is set up the default to say always save in Microsoft formats. So it'll always save Microsoft format documents. So you don't even have to think about it. When you write a document, when you go to save it, it saves it as a doc.
I got you.
And then you know, you can open docs without a problem.
I need that kind of advice.
Yeah, that's what'll do it. So a system like that will be fine. Now, I should tell you that mm-hmm. you're going to be thinking about spending more money, and here's why.
In the end.
If you're giving this person a laptop,
mm-hmm.
they're going to really want to have some sort of warranty.
Okay.
Because laptops get banged around.
How about stealing them?
And certainly they get stolen. So if you've got a Kensington lock on it for at night or whatever.
Kensington?
Kensington. K-E-N-S-I-N-G-T-O-N. Kensington. The Kensington. Kensington. Could you use that in a sentence, please? The Kensington lock will... You loop it around something that's permanent, and then you just stick the end of it in the...
It's a bicycle lock for your laptop.
Essentially. And those are awfully nice.
My bike.
What?
Does it work better than my bike?
Theoretically, yeah. You need a big pair of bolt cutters for most Kensington locks.
Yes.
All right.
Big bolt cutters.
Very big.
So, yeah, I would suggest you do that.
And a warranty.
I think you really need the warranty in particular. Now, take a look at what, if you're going to buy a Dell, take a look at what the Dell warranties are, because some of them are on-site.
I don't reading that small print stuff.
Well, but the point is this. If this person's going to be out of state.
Right.
And is depending on this laptop for papers and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Once it's in motion, it'll count a lot.
Right. So you might want to say, you know, you can pay for the very highest level, which is within 4 hours on site or within 8 hours
also,
on site, next day on site.
Well, you can get the standard 1 year warranty. And then they have what they call accidental damage.
Yeah, that's different than warranty. Warranty is for the thing breaks itself. Accidental damage is when you drop it and it breaks.
Yeah, and that's what usually happens more than, laptop. Usually if it's going to last a year after that, it'll keep going. But it's the accidental, you know, like I say, that somebody comes by or if they're, say, working in the library and somebody comes along and hits the cord and all of a sudden you see the laptop going sliding right on off the table and down it goes.
Unlike a lot of other appliances where they sell you the warranty to make the extra dough, this is actually worthwhile.
Absolutely worthwhile.
Yes.
Particularly in a college situation, trust me.
And who should I get a warranty like that from?
Dell.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, a lot of times if you go to one of the big box stores, they'll sell you a warranty.
Is that a big box store?
Yeah, but then if you go to a city that doesn't have that big box store, you can't get your computer service.
Right, whereas Dell is national, so get it right from Dell.
Oh, that's a good idea. So I should buy it from Dell instead of this other guy.
Well, if you buy it from Dell and get the warranty from Dell, then Dell will definitely... I'm sorry, I meant the accidental damage.
Yeah, if you buy it from a Dell dealer, he should be able to give you that same Dell accidental damage.
Right. But make sure you get an actual Dell setup and not this local person.
There's a lot of, for people that have already purchased their laptops, you can get insurance on your laptop for theft or damage. And Safeware is one of the big laptop insurance companies. And even your homeowner's insurance will often cover things like that as well. But you have to check your deductible. You know, if you have a $5,000 deductible on your house, you know, when your $1,000 laptop breaks, you know, don't bother.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Very interesting. Let me ask you this one last thing. Windows 7 and Windows XP, which you probably talked about a million times, but I didn't hear it.
Yeah.
At this point, you know, the Windows 7's been out for a while, right?
Yep. Windows 7, definitely Windows 7.
Yes.
Okay. That's what I need to know.
There you go.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Yep.
Thanks, Mike.
Appreciate it.
Our pleasure. There's a lot to knowing, you know, it's more than just knowing, oh, I like this screen size, I like this keyboard. Does it have enough RAM? There's a whole lot more to it, and Mike's been doing his research, and that's a good thing.
And that's one of the nice things about going to a local dealer where you can talk to people like that.
Right. Normally, I always suggest you buy locally. That's why I always say go to Dave, go to Steve, buy your machine locally. You got a face to look at. But when you're going away to college, you may be there, you may be home.
I'll be the first one to agree with it.
Exactly right. Then you don't know where you're going to get it from. Get it from a national dealer. Get the national support, the national service, and then you don't have to worry about it.
Yep.
All right, our next caller is Mark. Where are you calling from, Mark?
Parrington, New York.
Parrington.
Yep. Okay, I got a question on Linux.
Yeah.
I downloaded Linux Remix for a netbook.
Right.
And I can't get the Broadcom 802.11g wireless to work.
Oh.
I plug in a regular wire connection, it works, but I can't find a driver to run the wireless.
As Nick furiously types.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest trick, is finding that driver.
Yeah.
Are you sure it's Broadcom? Do you know what chipset it's using?
I'm not sure. It's Aspire by Asus.
Yeah. What you should be able to do is this. Go to System.
Okay.
Go to Administration and select Hardware Drivers.
All right.
And what it will do is it will search your machine and tell you if there are any hardware devices that require special drivers.
Okay, I did that when I was on there, and it come up that they could not find a driver for the 802.
5G when I was under Lennox.
Okay. And how long ago was that?
Probably 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. Mm.
Well, I would try it again anyway, but...
What specific model of Acer is it?
It's a Spire 1.
And do you have the sub-model number?
Let's see here.
Yeah, a lot of times if you Google that model number and Linux wireless, you might find it as well.
Right, there's the Aspire 1, there's the 150, the 250, the 532H.
It's a D something, D250 maybe?
Really?
Here's the AOD 250-1613.
Yeah, I think that's the one.
There's an Arch Linux website. That's another distro, and they have specific instructions for that Acer Aspire.
Right. According to the bottom, it's I just saw it here. It was a D250-1624.
Right.
And which distro of Linux did you say?
It's the Remix for the netbooks.
Yeah, Ubuntu Netbook Remix, UNR.
Yeah.
Have you been to the Broadcom website?
No, not recently. I haven't.
Yeah, I would suggest trying that. That's the only other thing I can think of at the moment. Plug it into the wired network, obviously. Go to their website and search for the driver. That should be the only way I can think of to get it at this point. I don't have a better answer for you than that. I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, sorry. Although people in the IRC chat are saying that they did an update, the latest set of updates found the wireless card and did install it. Also, Chris is saying you can go to linuxdrivers.org, linuxdrivers.org, to find the driver as well. So both of those answers, see, all of us smarter than any of us. So,
That's the way it goes on the show, though.
Boy, ain't that the truth.
That's the great thing about it. We got so many other folks out there, you know. I mean, we've got a pretty good knowledge base and a great bunch of folks out
Linux-drivers.org.
Yeah. Sorry. Linux-drivers.org or linux-drivers.org. I don't know whether that's...
Is it an N-dash or an M-dash?
It looks like an N-dash from here.
It's a hyphen.
Yeah, it's a hyphen, yeah.
We should remind folks, though, in 2 weeks...
Party.
It'll be the Rumball Show.
Party.
Rumball Show.
Can't wait for that.
Definitely going to do up the Rumballs. Folks might say, well, wait a minute. Your 20 years isn't until September. Right. That's another party. That's we love to party. And we're just using this as an excuse because in 2 weeks, on June 5th, we will be celebrating 1 year here at Member Supported Jazz 90.1. And kind of do with that, I'm doing Rumballs in July or June.
Rumballs in July.
And we might even have a couple other guests sitting in here.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
All right. Reacting to the latest privacy backlash, Facebook will be rolling out new simplistic privacy option for its users in the coming weeks, according to Facebook head of publicity,
yes,
Tom Sparapani. Who cares? Now we've heard from our users that we've gotten a little complex, Sparapani said in a radio interview on Tuesday, and in a massive understatement. I think we're going to work on that. We're going to be providing options for users who want simplistic bands of privacy that they can choose from, and I think we'll see that in the next couple of weeks. While it's not clear what those options will look like or if they will be presented to existing users, one supposes that at least new users will be given some broad options to choose from along the lines of, I'm an exhibitionist, I like sharing with a lot of people but not everybody, and I'm a private person who just wants to share with friends and family, and maybe I don't want to share with anybody. Why am I even on Facebook? Currently, new users are set to very public defaults, including having their profile information shared with other online services, such as Yelp and Pandora. The proposed changes are unlikely to reverse the company's December decision to make large portions of a user's profile available publicly, which means that even if you hide the fact you support a guns rights organization in your profile setting, it's still findable online. Even though they say they're trying to make it easier for people to set their privacy settings, there really is no privacy in Facebook. If you're going to use Facebook, you need to understand that there is simply no privacy. Because even under the hood, Zuckerberg and the Facebook board have said that they will be sharing even the information you say is private. They'll be sharing that with whoever the hell they want to, and too bad for you. So our question to you, Facebook, gift to the public or security nightmare? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll free, 1-800-790-0415. I do use Facebook, but I have either no or possibly not entirely accurate information in Facebook because I don't want...
I put very little in there. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm there for a present, you know, for the sound bites and that, but in, you know, I've got family that's in there.
Right, right.
But I rarely go on Facebook because I get hundreds of requests for Farmville things or Mafia Wars or
you can hide all those stuff. You can actually hide those.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have to dig through the settings to find out how.
Yeah, actually, it's right up on that main page. That's the one thing they've actually made easy. Oh my golly! At market this morning, my wife and one of our customers went into a little Farmville orgy together. I do this, and my sister-in-law's coming up, and we're gonna have a chit chat, and we're gonna all get together. And I've almost finished with this farm, and I'm getting extra things if you want that, and all this other yada yada.
Everyone has to look up the South Park episode on Facebook. It was so hilarious and so true.
Yeah. Cheesy puffs. All right, we're gonna take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Sound Bites, celebrating 20 years.
Jazz 90.1 is supported by our members and Agape Physical Therapy. Agape Physical Therapy offers aquatic therapy at their Brockport location, the Gates Chalet Hidden Valley Pool, and the Webster Aquatic Center. Using the Bredenko method of using water as physical therapy, Agape provides shallow and deep water exercise areas for partial and non-weight-bearing activities. Agape Physical Therapy's experienced staff offers constant care in treating the young and the young at heart, non-athletes and athletes. For more information about Agape Physical Therapy, you may call 637-0790 or visit agapephysicaltherapy.com.
Hey, honey, she's all fixed. Want to go for a spin?
Sure. Honey, what's that in the back seat?
Oh, that's just the 23 pieces I had left over.
Time for a new vehicle? Well, Jazz 90.1 would love to have your old one. Just call 966-5299. Jazz 90.1 will pick it up, plus you'll get a tax deduction.
Is that 966-5299?
Yes. Donate your old vehicle to Jazz 90.1.
Honey?
I'm already dialing.
Do you feel like some live jazz tonight? Then listen for the Club Calendar with Joelle Van Buren. Every day at 9:40 a.m., 2:40, 5:40, and 7:40 p.m., Joelle tells you who's playing jazz and blues that night and where. You'll always know where the jazz is when you check out the Club Calendar with Joelle Van Buren, four times daily on Jazz 90.1 and online at jazz901.org.
Hey, this is Rip Savage. Join me tonight for Fusion, 10 p.m., right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 22 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. We have Cindy on the line. Is this Cindy from Queensbury again?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. And what didn't work for you?
Well, first I want to say I use Facebook. I love Facebook. I'm in contact with the person who babysat me 500 miles away when I was six.
Yep.
So, you know, but I also don't put anything on there that I'm not willing to share.
Now, I will tell you that I am in contact with my very first girlfriend. We found each other on Facebook. She was the deep love of my life. We were inseparable for about 3 years. She moved away, and I was absolutely devastated. Okay, I was only five, but I was devastated.
We talked about this last week.
Yeah, we did, and we reconnected on Facebook. It's kind of fun. Facebook. Many people love Facebook. I don't have anything against Facebook. I have a lot against their lack of privacy policies.
Right, but like I said, I don't put anything on there that I'm not willing to share with everyone.
The danger a lot of people run into is that other people do. The joke is you get drunk at a party and someone takes a picture of you.
Right.
Well, I don't get drunk at parties.
Yeah, and that's the answer back. Yeah.
Well, Cindy, clearly you're not getting out enough.
You remember that Mardi Gras in 1999 when you went down to Louisiana?
I was actually telling this to my godson. I said, the problem you have, see, when I was your age, I did all the same stupid things you're doing, but nobody had cameras.
Yep. What was that? Dredging up the Elliot Spitzer scandal story years ago. The Girls Gone Wild guy put out $1 million bounty to get video of the girl.
Yeah.
Turns out that 2 years earlier, she spent a week in the Girls Gone Wild van and filmed three movies.
But he couldn't be bothered to look
but he
for
couldn't
it.
Be yeah, so someone pointed it out to him, and he retracted the bounty.
Yeah, I bet. Or paid it to himself.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. But yeah, I get it, Cindy. People love Facebook, and I have no problem with Facebook as such. It's just people need to understand there is nothing private at Facebook.
Yep.
Even if you mark it as private, it's not private. So in other words, if you...
That's very disturbing.
It is. And so if you join the I Support Elliot Spitzer fan club and mark yourself as private there, it doesn't matter. They will send that information to whoever asks for it.
Well, probably the most controversial thing I've joined is I Support John Schuster.
There you go. So you're probably on his mailing list now.
Do you know who John Schuster is?
I don't.
No. He was the captain of the men's curling team in the last Olympics.
Oh, yes, then I do know who he is, actually.
Yeah, you just needed a frame of reference.
Exactly.
So I know John Schuck.
You're pulling a name out of thin air.
Yeah, exactly, just, I can't do it.
Yeah.
It's like people I see every day in one context, I see him in another context, and I go, God, I know this person from somewhere.
I know this person, but from where?
Yeah.
I saw a guy in the street yesterday. I had to go through my daily life, and finally, he works at the grocery store I go to.
Yep.
You know?
There's also a John Schuster that's a Samoan rugby player.
Oh! So, different kinds of athletes.
I have never played Samoan rugby.
Well, he's a rugby player from Samoa.
Oh, I see. I understand now. It's a whole different thing. Man, Samoan playing rugby.
Yeah.
You might as well just not even bother showing up again.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Holy cow. All right, thanks, Cindy.
Okay, now...
Oh.
I actually called for a reason.
But wait, there's more.
Yes. I found an add-on that says it will pop up Gmail, Yahoo, and Hotmail.
There you go.
To send email. And there was an option, and I chose Hotmail as my main in browser preference.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But
when
I still right-click in the send link, nothing's changed. So do I have to
restart
something more?
Yeah, did you restart Firefox?
Yes I did.
Now I'm afraid you're going to have to read the directions. It may not be a direct hit to send, send to. It may be something else.
It says when you click link with href format. What is href format? Maybe I don't have that.
Well, no, that's the other end when the website puts an href to do a mail to. Okay. I know what's wrong now. When you click on, if there's a website that has an email address, you know, steve@soundbites.org, that's an href to an email. You're just trying to click on any random text and email it to someone?
Yeah.
That's,
you know,
completely different.
A story on my Yahoo homepage.
Yeah. Most of those social networks, like Yahoo and whatnot, there'll be a share button somewhere.
Yeah, but not.
And one of those is often share as email, because you can dig it, you can like it, you can Mashable. There's all these different aggregators.
Yeah,
but there should be one for email also.
If there's one site that I go to that doesn't often have that, it's Yahoo. I mean, I'm looking at the first thing on the Yahoo homepage, No Escape from Europe's Rubble. There is nothing on there to share the story with anyone. I mean, up in the right hand corner, I can open Yahoo. I can open Yahoo's email, but I can't share it with anyone.
Ooh, I just went to Yahoo.
With my homepage, so I frequently wanna.
When you're on a story. So I just went to Yahoo.com, and James Franco is starring in the Planet of the Apes prequel.
What the heck does that have to do?
That's the first story that came up on Yahoo. There's a button that says share, and a button that says buzz, so that sends it to Google Buzz. But there's a button that says share that lets you send as an email, as an IM,
okay,
to Delicious, to Dig, to Facebook.
Can you find the No Escape from Europe's Rubble one?
I'm looking through the top pages.
Here
it is, No Escaping Europe's Plan for Rubble, yeah. So when I go into that, that is from finance.yahoo.com, and there's no share button.
There's no share button. So, you know, I used to be able to go to send to, and then I could, you know, do things with it. But
I found another plugin from webmail.mozilla.org. It says it integrates web-based email accounts into Thunderbird, and it allows Thunderbird to send webmail, which isn't exactly what you're looking for, is it? You're looking for Firefox and Hotmail.
Right.
Yeah. I don't have
that.
I don't want to give up my Hotmail address.
Yeah, copy and paste into a message manually. But I see what you mean now.
Yeah, I mean, these days every story would have a share button, you know, but
that would be the easy way around it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but Yahoo frequently doesn't have share buttons.
Now, in Firefox, I'm in Firefox now. Under the File menu, there is a Send Link command, and that opened my default mail program, which is a separate program, not a web browser.
Now, if you do this, if you go to the Edit menu, select Preferences, select Applications Panel.
I don't have preferences in my Edit menu. You mean the Edit in the Firefox?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Then it's under the one on the right, on the far right.
It may be under Help. It may be under the Firefox name itself, which is what it is on mine. Under the Firefox
What's the menu on the far right?
I don't have any menus on the far right.
No, of the list of menu choices, File, Edit, etc., what's the one on the far right of that list? Read me the list of menu choices.
Oh, going from left to right.
I've got File, Edit, View, History, Bookmarks, Tools, Help.
Tools.
Probably Tools Options or Tools
Preferences. Tools Options, Tools Preferences.
Options. General Tabs, Content,
Applications. Applications tab.
Yep.
Search for the content type mail to. And you'll have a choice you want to click on the action column in the mail to row.
That's not going to work.
Why not?
Because Hotmail isn't listed.
Did Hotmail not be listed?
And use other brings up an application selector to let you pick what application
you want.
Should
be a choice of use webmail.
Maybe it's different in the Windows version. But once you find that mail to content type, there's an action menu where you tell it which mail program to use.
And one of the choices should be use webmail or use other. Is this Firefox?
In the content type, I mean, I'm not looking for send to or something.
Mail to.
Mail to.
Yeah, George, just type mail.
Oh, mail to. Okay.
And under action, what are the choices?
QuickTime, Adobe Acrobat.
No, select the mail to icon, or a list. When you find...
Oh. Always ask, use Gmail, use Yahoo Mail, use other... Application details.
And Hotmail isn't listed.
Use other.
It's going to ask for a program. And Hotmail is not a program.
Browse, but browsing takes me to helper application.
Right. It's asking you to pick a program. And Hotmail is not a program.
Right.
Right. And that's the problem. Mm-hmm. All right. That place where you found all the, that we sent you to the first time.
Yeah.
You were in the right place. You just picked the wrong program.
I tried one that, you know, I said, send link to Hotmail, and it gave me
a link, as we said earlier, when it's a mail to link. So if it says click here to mail Nick, and you click on that, it will now use Hotmail for that.
Right.
But that's different from I want to send this whole page. So you need to find one that'll let you send the page.
Okay.
Instead. So I'm afraid you're going to have to do a little reading on each of those options. Okie doke?
You said there are 3 pages. There are really only 27 because most of them are experimentals.
Well, right.
Okay.
Well, sometimes.
Right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Cindy.
Sometimes the experimental ones work. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's interesting they don't include Hotmail because it's so big.
It's big but unliked.
Oh, here's
by many people. I can't put that more politely.
I found a JavaScript you could run to make Hotmail your mail to host or a link.
Yeah,
let me,
we're not.
Let me
yeah.
see if this does what we want it to.
Yeah. Our next caller is Chris. Where are you calling from, Chris?
Rochester. It's Chris Reich. How you doing,
Hiya,
guys?
Hiya, Chris. Friend of the show, Chris Reich. What can we do for you, sir?
I'm calling about Facebook.
Oh, here we go.
Well, I use Facebook, too, but I use it judiciously. And, you know, what impresses me about Facebook is that the level of granularity at which you can control your privacy is remarkable. For example, you can control who sees your photos and videos, and separately you can control who can post your wall.
Right.
You can control who can contact you. And, in fact, there is one person on my block list who I never want to hear from, so they're blocked.
Yep.
You can control what applications and websites can access your Facebook page. So the level of granularity is just tremendous on it, and I love it for that.
In terms of that, it is excellent.
And the problem with that is that the average grandma has no idea what any of that means.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which is why grandma needs us to help her out.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
More importantly, the second part of that problem is that according to Mark Zuckerberg, who is the president and CEO of Facebook, under the hood, they don't care. They will share whatever of your data they want with anybody they want. So they will sell even the data you've marked private to anybody who will pay them for it.
Where can we see evidence of that, Nick?
All over the web. Do a Google search in their news section for Facebook privacy. And
because
you'll see
if that's true, then I'm going to use the term fraudulent.
That's why they're being sued by a whole lot of people.
Okay, then. Well, I learned something today.
There you go. Thank you, my friend.
Talk to you later, guys.
Keep smiling. That's an interesting little problem that Facebook has right now. It depends on what you've got in there and what you're sharing with people and whatever. The example one article used I read was let's say you join the NRA. I'm a friend of the NRA on Facebook, right? You friend the NRA's fan page. Maybe you don't want everybody to know that you're a member of the NRA. Well, that certainly will work in terms of other people who use Facebook, but there's nothing that won't guarantee that Mark Zuckerberg and company will keep that information private. If the NRA says, why don't you give us a list of all the people who are, if somebody else says, why don't you give us a list of all the people who are friends of the NRA, here's money. Apparently Zuckerberg will do that. So that's an interesting little...
The Electronic Frontier Foundation has been tracking all these Facebook privacy issues, too, and they've got several pretty good articles.
Yeah.
They've got one on the changing face of the Facebook privacy and all the things that have changed over the years. And the biggest complaint is that every time Facebook makes a change or adds a new feature, everyone is subscribed to it automatically, and you have to opt out yourself.
Yep.
So, well, that's the whole thing, though. You know, Facebook, you're not paying anything for it. It's a free service. So, you know, that's where they're getting...
Well, the basic premise of Facebook was no one can see anything but people that are your friends.
But again,
you
know...
that's not true.
It's simply not true.
Yeah.
It goes right back to, and I guess this is the same type of situation. Say you're at work, and you've got your computer. Well, technically, your boss at any given time can walk over and look through anything on that computer.
Because it's not your computer, it's work's computer.
Exactly. Facebook belongs to Zuckerman, and at any time, he can literally do...
That's not the problem. The problem is the way they have presented it to the public.
Oh, yeah.
And what they're actually doing underneath are two entirely separate things.
And it's all in the wording.
Yep. And that's where people have a problem, and I agree with that.
Oh, yeah. No, I do,
If
too.
I put out a service and said, you know what, nothing on here is private, I'll do whatever I want with it. If I can make money off it, I will, and the heck with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you opt to join in anyway, you got no beef.
Exactly.
But if I say, here's this great product, and look at all the privacy you have, and then I turn around and sell all your data anyway, I think maybe you got a bit of a beef.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, because it's going contrary to what the original terms were.
Yep.
But then again, though, and I haven't, nor will I take the time to really read into the fine print. Because, like, everybody, you know, is so click-happy, as we've said before. They click, 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 click. And, you know, before you know it, they're all of a sudden signing up for something that they didn't know that they were going to do.
Yep, yep. Very few people read all of the end-user license agreements that they actually agree to. We're going to take a quick break, but we will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. For some unknown reason, you're still listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbite. We're right here on the great member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll-free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 apparel is available online. Whether it's a long or short sleeve t-shirt, half zip fleece, hooded sweatshirt, or baseball cap that you're looking for, you'll find it at the Jazz 90.1 online store at jazz901.org.
Celebrating 20 years on air, Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
The itsy bitsy spider.
Household pests are familiar subjects in childhood songs and nursery rhymes, but they can also pose serious threats to our health and property. Dealing with these threats may not be as easy as ABC, but it can be as easy as IPM. Integrated Pest Management employs common sense and sound solutions to treat and control pests. To learn more, visit whatisipm.org, a public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Hi, I'm Phil Dodd, and I think you'll like the mix of music I play every weekday afternoon. I play today's best artists as well as the classic performers who made jazz America's own special art form. I also feature the standards, songs that have stood the test of time and are constantly being reinvented by jazz musicians. So please join me, Phil Dodd, noon to 3, Monday through Friday, right here on Jazz 90.1.
What do you love about the radio?
I just like the variety, because it can put you in different moods and you don't know what to expect. I think it's, my favorite part is you don't know what to expect. So I always get excited when a song is over because I'm excited for what the next song is going to be.
New artist Caitlin Crosby loves radio.
Still have my heart. You still have my heart.
Discover Caitlin Crosby and other new artists where it's good to be heard. Radio. Always something new and fresh, always free. Go to RadioHeardHere.com.
Hi, this is Sid O'Connor. Join me Sunday mornings from 7 until noon right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, hey, guess what? We are Soundbites.
We are?
Oddly, we are. We're going to go to our next caller. That's Seth. Where are you calling from, Seth?
I'm in Brighton.
Brighton, and what can we do for you?
First, I just want to tell you guys how much I really enjoy your show. I rarely get a chance to listen to it live, but I subscribe to the podcast.
That's what I like to hear.
Did join online a couple weeks ago, so nice. Really appreciate what you guys do.
Thanks, Seth. What can we do for you?
I have DSL, and it, for a while, has been very intermittent in how it's worked, often dropping out or becoming very slow. And I discovered that if I move my DSL modem to different phone jacks in my house, it works great. But the jack where my desktop computer and all my stuff is where I'm having an issue.
Right.
So I want to do, I'm looking to do one of two things. Either, is there such a thing as like a reverse wireless router so I can put the DSL somewhere where it's going to work, but then receive it over at my desktop, but I still have a couple LAN devices that I need to connect there.
Yeah, how hard is it just to run the cable?
It's a wireless network bridge is what you're looking for. That's the terminology they use. But the wire in your house through the walls is the one that apparently is bad and needs replacing.
Right. I'm trying to avoid digging into the wall and
you think?
The wireless
bridge is about $100 at each end. So you put your DSL in the other room where it works, and you put a wireless bridge on there, and then have your wireless bridge on the other end where your computers are, so you can get wireless and wired.
And so that's going to cost you about $200.
That's just available at the big box computer type stores.
Pretty much, yeah. Yep.
What about if I? Because I also know, I could get a USB. Wireless receiver for the computer, is there then a way to
if you put
the internet through that, but then also hook something up at the computer?
If you put just a regular if you put just a regular wireless access point on your DSL router in the other room, and then all of your other computers are wireless, that'll work. Or you can do internet connection sharing. So if one computer has wireless, it can share out on your Ethernet that signal, and then that computer becomes the wireless bridge.
So if you've got other devices, like, for example, a printer, we can always hook the printer to a computer instead of doing it over the network.
Right. But, well, actually, the device that's causing me trouble, I don't know if you guys ever talked about it, but I don't think I've heard about it on the show. I have this thing from End Computing that I have two teenage girls, and it allows one of them to be on the actual computer and one of them attached on a separate screen and keyboard, like it's a workstation on their own user setting, but still they're both really using the same computer.
A terminal server, basically.
But that requires a LAN connection. So I haven't been able to figure out a way of getting I can get internet to the computer.
Well, that's a LAN connection between those two devices, isn't it?
Yes.
It doesn't matter how that one device gets to the internet, as long as those two devices are connected to each other via wire.
Right, but when I tried a USB, I did go out last night and I just got a USB wireless receiver just to see, or adapter to see if that would work. And it did. I was able to get the internet, but then the LAN connection between the two computers, or between the two.
Right.
Between
right.
the device and the computer.
Well, it wouldn't, because you don't have a DHCP server anymore. You'll have to manually configure the IP right. address on that wire between those two devices, and then you'll need network sharing software in the one that physically has the wireless on it to connect. Right. So you can use the internet sharing setup to share the internet from that USB wireless to the Ethernet.
Right. Or the easiest two solutions are either to get the bridge, which is about $200 all in, or to repair that phone line. And I'm sorry, there's no real good third alternative that I can think of.
Right.
Or string a new line and just tape it down to the floor.
Yeah, I was trying to. Been my there. Wife wouldn't go for that one too well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's always the wife, isn't it?
Yeah.
If it was me, in fact, I still do.
That's Steve Ray, ladies and gentlemen. He looks forward to your emails.
I am very surprised. when we moved into our house two and some odd years ago, the room we made the computer room has no grounded outlets. So I've got a nice bright orange extension cord running from another room. Still,
yeah. We moved in. I took over my room as the computer. The room I set up as a computer room was the only one at the time that had grounded outlets.
Yeah.
One of the things that we did was we just pulled up the baseboard at one point and ran the wire along inside the baseboard, and then we drilled a little mouse hole in the baseboard at the point I wanted it to come out, and that's where we pulled out the...
Or sometimes you can go down into the basement, little tiny hole in one corner to go down to the basement and string it in the rafters because it doesn't matter.
Right.
And then up in the next room.
True. Right.
Depending on how the...
But I'm afraid those are your choices.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the input.
Sorry, Seth.
I remember back in the old modem days, I rewired my house so that all of the phone lines went through my computer. So I could shut off all the other extensions in the house when I'm on the modem because I was continually getting hung up on.
Right.
But that was sort of easy because all the phone wires go to one spot in the junction box in the basement. So everything went to there, and I just ran a new wire up so I could shut everybody off, especially my teenage daughter hated it.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. And that's why you had to have it to begin with.
Yeah.
All right. We'll go back to the phones. Our next caller is Gordon, recalling from Pittsburgh, I suspect.
Right.
And you had the Lenovo ThinkPad R62i?
Yeah.
Wireless was not connected, and the new Thunderbird can't send. Which problem are we looking at first?
Well, we're looking at the Thunderbird problem. I've gone into tools, options, passwords, and I see that I do have a different password there for my SMTP server.
Right.
Don't know how to change it, though, to the right one.
If you're using Time Warner, you do not have an SMTP server password. So you have to say
no authentication.
No authentication.
Or
uncheck authentication.
That makes it nice and easy. Thanks.
Yes, it does.
Also, didn't solve my problem with the wireless, but...
At least the wired is working.
The wireless works too, but every time, you shut the computer down, I have to... go back in and select Microsoft as the...
It's almost like the save setting isn't working, and that makes me think it's a registry...
A registry problem, but it's more likely that somewhere along the line you've got multiple devices configured to manage your wireless. And without looking at the machine, I can't tell you where they are. This might be one of those times you take it into Dave or Steve. But basically the deal here is that it sounds to me like more than one device is managing your wireless, and they're fighting each other.
Yeah, that's what the guys at Netgear told me.
Yep. Well, oddly, they were right.
Okay, so we'll see one of you guys. Thanks very much.
All right. Thanks.
He's got a point there. You can change your username in that setting panel, but there's no way to change your password in that setting panel.
Right.
So somewhere Thunderbird is saving the password. So I can change the name, but there's no place to change the password.
So because you don't have secure authentication connected. When you say, give me secure authentication, then it will ask you for a password.
Nope.
Well, it'll ask you for a password.
And it saves that somewhere.
Yeah.
How do you change what it saved?
When it comes back up and says, that's wrong, type in a new one.
And it saves it itself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
but it's not working for him because Time Warner doesn't want any password.
Right.
So any password you type in will be wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You have to say no authentication.
Right. Uncheck.
Unchecked secure authentication.
Username and password. Yeah.
Right. And so once you've done that, then it'll be fine.
That's one of the things I like about Firefox is it has a list of passwords. It saves your web passwords, and you can go in and look at what they were when you forget them.
And you like that?
A little bit, yeah.
It means they're being saved in plain text somewhere? Or well, anybody could go in and look at them if you leave your machine untended?
You can put a master password on it, so you can you remember that one password, and then it's better.
I'm not that impressed. And that is the problem. People, passwords are tough. You know, there have been all kinds of schemes to replace passwords with thumb swipes or whatever, so that, you know, on the off chance that you forget your thumb, that's a problem. But well, beyond that, not so much.
The movies have already shown that. You just cut the guy's thumb off and you get the...
Except when they also want both room temperature and a pulse.
That could
be an
issue.
That could be fixed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Mythbusters did a whole thing on security, and they were really shocked about a thumbprint door lock.
But it wasn't looking for a pulse.
Right. They beat it with a photocopy.
Right. Because all it was looking for was essentially a picture of the thumb
swirls. Yeah,
yeah. But yeah, there. Although people have looked at it for a long time, and a lot of companies sell laptops with or keyboards, desktop keyboards with a thumb swiper thing. Not a lot of places use them.
Well, a lot of the big amusement parks now, Disney World and Universal Studios, they are now requiring a thumbprint. When you buy the multi-day passes, because, you know, heaven forbid you buy a pass and give the extra day to your friend.
Why does Disney care? You've already given them the money.
They want the money from the other guy, too.
Yep.
They would love it if you buy the ticket and never use it.
I guess that's true.
And
that's
so there have been a lot of security concerns with that now Disney has your thumbprint. And what happens when their database gets compromised?
I wonder what happens if you say no thank you.
You can't buy the multi-day pass.
Yeah.
At whatever discount it is. There was a great couple of episodes in CSI Vegas where this guy kept getting arrested because his fingerprint showed up at a crime scene. Turns out he was a special makeup artist, and he made prosthetic hands for movies.
His
fingerprints were on the prosthetic hand. Then, of course, there was one episode where he did commit the crime and blamed it on the prosthetic hand.
Right.
It wasn't me. So you're back again. I keep telling you it's not me.
Right. Isn't CSI Vegas just CSI?
Yeah, that's the original one. Yeah. But
they canceled Law and Order.
Which one?
The original one, which is very sad because I can't tell you how many actors I know
in
New York who got day work out of the deal.
Jerry Orbach have friends in Rochester, and he's here all the time?
Yeah. back when he was alive.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's too bad now
you can't do it. But there might be a TV movie now.
The best job on Law & Order was the body, because they can't cut that out. No matter what else ends up in the cutting room floor, you got to have the body. All right, we're done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. If you didn't call in, I don't know why you didn't. It was silly of you, and you can do it next week. And thanks to all the folks in the on the IRC chat who were kind enough to share their expertise with us in the time that they weren't talking about something else entirely. But we're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright and Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. We will be back here next week, same time, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. You've wasted 2 hours of your life listening to sound bites, and we want to thank you for doing so, and we'll give you the opportunity to do it again next week. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week.
America's longest-running computer show, Sound Bites, celebrating 20 years.